Remember when I was working at a Bible camp during my college years? We were there early and the director says, oh, go to the tool shed and find me, can't remember, a wrench or something, what he was looking for. So I run across the camp and I go into the big, huge shop and I see all the tools and I'm looking down kind of the aisle of, okay, what am I looking for? And I don't see it, so I'm like, okay, open all the drawers, open all the cupboards. I'm looking and you know when you just can't find something? You start to get frustrated. You're like, it's got to be here, but you just don't see it. So systematically, I go through. I look everywhere, every drawer, turning everything over. I must have spent 15 minutes looking for that silly tool, and I'm just pulling my hair out because I can't find it, and I'm so frustrated. So finally, I run back, and I go to the director, and he's like kind of looking at me like, that took you a long time, and I don't even have a tool for him. So he walks with me back to the shed. We open the door. He reaches out, he picks it up, and it's like, what? Like, it's in plain sight. How on earth did I miss that? In my house, we always say it's not lost until mom can't find it. Right? Because things are in plain sight. And our theme this fall is truth hidden in plain sight as we look at the parables of Jesus. You see the sign here? Could you read it, or are you kind of squinting a little bit? Like, what is that? It says plain sight, of course. It's there in plain sight, but truth's hidden in it. And as we look at the parables of Jesus, we're going to see what Jesus is doing, how he has the truth there, and it's available for us. God has given us his word, but are you seeing it? Do you see the truth, or is it hidden? Look at Matthew chapter 13. You've got a Bible in front of you if you didn't bring one, and in Matthew chapter 13, right in the New Testament, you can look in the concordance if you're plumbing through your Bible, and it's hidden in plain sight, right? You can find out where it is. But in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus starts talking, and he's speaking to crowds, and he talks in parables, and parables, of course, being short stories with kind of a moral or spiritual lesson. And then the disciples ask Jesus in Matthew 13, verse 10, why do you speak to the people in parables? Jesus answers. He replies, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Then Jesus goes and quotes the Old Testament. He says, though seeing, they do not see, though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing but never understanding, ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their ears, hear with their eyes, understand with their hearts, turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it. And hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Jesus is giving two reasons on why he speaks in parables. One is to reveal the truth, and the other is to conceal it or to hide it. And in the same story, he's doing two different things. Some people will see it, and some people won't. And Jesus starts off and he says, blessed are you because you're seeing it. You understand it. You get it. It's there. It's in plain sight, and you see the truth. And the beauty of parables and the beauty of stories is that we remember them, right? The beauty of a narrative is that you enter in, and long after the story's been told, you're thinking about it, and you're mulling it over. And in fact, stories are what form our view of the world. And Jesus was a master at telling stories. And he was putting the ball in people's court. He'd tell the story, and then they'd have to chew on it for a while. They'd have to work with it and think it through, and they'd have to take ownership of, I'm going to learn, I'm going to understand. And stories are memorable, right? And they draw us in. Last Sunday, Theo was telling us a story about his mom's dog. He could have simply said, I don't like my mom's dog and I wouldn't really help it, but my mom would do anything for my dog. He could have just stated that, but instead he drew us in with all his Theoisms, and he made us laugh, and he made us like on the edge of our seats. And just the telling a good story draws you in and you remember it, and that's what Jesus does. And he captures the truth and he puts it in a story. But not only is Jesus telling the people, you're seeing it and you're hearing it, I'm telling these stories so that you can know the truth. He's also saying, I'm hiding the truth in these stories. This is coming at a time where Jesus had been very popular. Large crowds are following. In fact, Jesus is out on the boat when he's saying this because the crowd is so large, crowding in against him. And the Pharisees, the religious elite, they're beginning to say, let's trap Jesus in his words. We don't like this guy. Let's critique him and let's judge him. And so Jesus transitions in his ministry. He begins telling stories in order to hide the truth so that they can't hear. They might want to hear, but they go and they listen to this great teacher, and all he does is talk about seeds. All he does is talk about farming. They're like, we wanted a good religious lesson. Come on, Jesus, give us something that we can really figure out. And he just tells this in order to hide the truth from them. So Jesus reveals the truth and he hides the truth. But really, as we look at the parables this fall, the question comes to each and every one of us. Will you hear the truth? So if I ask you, do you hope to hear God's word? Do you hope to hear God's voice? How are you going to answer? Probably everyone's going to be like, yeah, of course, right? Who wouldn't want to hear God's voice? What if we changed the question a little bit and we said, do you expect to hear God's voice? He's put it out there in plain sight. He's given us his word. He's revealed himself. Do you expect to hear the voice of God? That's the question that we're going to have in our own hearts over the coming months as we look at the parables of Jesus. Is God speaking to me? Not just to me personally, but to us as a church. Are we as a church that listens to God, that has ears to hear, as Jesus puts it? I pray that we are. In fact, the leadership of our church, they've come together and they've embarked on a journey to listen to God and have His Spirit lead them in order to know, okay, what is our future as a church? How are we going to lead? How are we going to prioritize? Where are we going to put our emphasis and our energy and our budget? And the leadership of the church has embarked on this journey to say, we want to know God's voice so we can see the vision of our church. And they recognize that the church is a whole family. So it's not just a few people making all the decisions and telling everyone else, okay, now here's what we're going to do. But together as a church family, we want to listen to God's voice. And part of that, and we'll fill you more on this as the through the coming weeks, but just as Adrian shared a snippet of his life, of how God has spoken to him and worked in him, we want to hear everybody's stories. No, don't get scared. We're not going to invite everyone to come up front and speak at a microphone. We will have some more of that, but don't be put on the spot there. But we want to listen to everybody's stories. We'll do that through our gospel communities and our youth ministries. We'll come into your groups, and we've got questions we want to learn about how God has been working in you and the good works that God has done. Because if we're looking to the future, don't we want to see, here's who we are, and the confidence that, yes, God was faithful in the past, and take those stories to propel us into the future? So I don't want to give too much of an infomercial, but we want to be a church that's listening to one another and listening to God. And that's what's happening through the parables. Now let's read the parable that this is found in. It's the parable of the sower, found in the beginning of Matthew chapter 13. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and he sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into the boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. The birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. So Jesus has this huge crowd before him, and he says, there's a farmer. The farmer's gathering some seed, right? And the crowd, they listen to this, and they hear about the seed landing on the path, but it quickly gets taken away by the birds. The rocky soil, and don't so much imagine gravel or just rocks, imagine bedrock with just shallow soil over it. One house that we lived in, it had a septic field in the backyard. Springtime, green grass. As soon as the sun got hot, one perfect rectangle of dead grass, because the lid of the septic tank's there. It's just a shallow amount of soil, and he says the soil is shallow here, and that grass, it doesn't have the roots, it can't live in the hot sun. And so some seed was on that rocky, that bedrock type soil, and some seed amongst the thorns. No, there's competition. And I don't know why you plant a good plant, thorns grow up. Why do thorns always win? Why doesn't the plant win, right? But that's just how it is. And then some seed on the good soil. And then Jesus goes and gives them explanation. Starting in verse 18, he says, listen to what the parable of the sower means. And he talks about the path. And Jesus begins to say, here's the meaning behind what's happening. And we want to learn how to interpret the Bible well and properly, right? We don't want to take a parable that Jesus tells and figure out what every minute detail in the parable could possibly represent and have a spiritual significance, right? Like Pilgrim's Progress is a great allegory and everything represents something else, but parables are a little bit different. And typically the main character of a parable will have something it represents and have a lesson. In this story, the characters just happen to be types of soil. And so we could play around and we could say, well, global warming and climate change, right? That's going to change the soil, so then the seeds might not grow so well, and that's kind of like society these days, right? We can make this big lesson out of it. And sure, it's fun to speculate, but that's not biblical interpretation. That's just speculation, right? And so as we read, we want to go, okay, what's the main point from each of the main characters? And Jesus helps us in this particular parable, and he spells it out, and he says, the seed, it's the word of God. You hear the words of Jesus, you hear the Bible, you hear people talking, the word of God, that's the seed, it's getting sown. And the soil is like the condition of our heart. So there's the path. The seed is thrown, it's broadcasted out. Some seeds, you just plant one at a time, right? You make space them all properly. This type of seed, it's more like a grass seed. He just broadcasting method, spreading it evenly and broadly, taking handfuls at a time and spreading it all out. He gets near the edge of his field, and there's the path there. He wants as much seed in his field as possible, so he spreads it all out. Some seed falls all over the path. Farmer's not too concerned about that. But what's the path? The birds come, they eat it up, and Jesus says it's like people who don't understand the message. Satan comes, snatches it up, and we don't even have a chance to hear. And a lot of the Bible talks that way, and it's saying, no, it's like we hear God's word, but it's like we're blind to it. Or it's like we're dead. It's like we're lost and we need to be found. And Jesus has lots of different ways to describe a condition of a heart that needs new life in it. It just can't hear God's word, even though it's hearing it physically with their ears. Then along comes the rocky soil. And the rocky soil, it says it refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. You plant that the seed over that septic lid, and it sprouts up. It's doing great, and there's a lot of people that hear God's word. There's a lot of enthusiasm. There's a lot of passion. There's a lot of sincerity. But then the sun shines, and they're gone. It's the consumerism mentality, right, where it's all about me and my needs. Now, I love mini wheats for cereal in the breakfast at breakfast time. We go to Costco, and they're $2 off, and we're like, yeah, buy 10 boxes, right? And so you load up, and we eat our mini wheats. But I'm not loyal to mini wheats, because if there's a cheaper cereal, I'll buy it and I eat it, because I'm more loyal to not spending quite so much at Costco, right? And so, it's a consumer mentality. I'll take what's best for me until there's something better. And often, people have that when it comes to time to God's Word. What's in it for me? I'll come where it's best for my family, where it's best for me. I'll like this music, I'll like that program, I'll like that preacher, and so that's what I'll listen to. But as soon as things are a little bit uncomfortable, let's move on and find something else, right? As soon as things gets tough, the sun starts scorching, trials come, maybe persecution, maybe something comes against us, maybe someone doesn't look at us the right way and we say, I'm going to find a new church, right? The consumerism mentality that plagues our Western Christianity, and it's there and the soil is shallow, and as soon as hardship comes, there's no crop, there's no harvest. Then there's the thorns. The thorns are the competition. There's always competition for growth. And the competition happens in many different ways. It says there's the worries of the life, and there's the deceitfulness of wealth. So the worries of life, what are we worried about? What are we concerned about? And maybe we're trying to control things, and we're trying to control others, and we're trying to control the church. And if everyone just believes exactly as I believe, then I've got control over this, and I can feel safe. That gets very frustrating very quickly. And there's the deceitfulness of wealth, where it's like, I love God's word, but there's so many other good things and so much competition in my life that eventually it'll just choke out and drown out the good seed. And then, of course, there's the good soil. When God's word is planted in your life, if it's not growing well, it's like me looking for that tool in the tool shed, and I couldn't find it, and I was so frustrated. We want to hear God's word. We want our life to be fulfilling and satisfying, but what happens? It's just like it's not quite there. And maybe God's not all that. And we start to wonder, and we start to get disappointed. But I wonder if Jesus is asking us to look at the condition of our heart. And he says there can be fulfillment. That good soil can produce the satisfaction and the joy that Jesus brings, both now and for eternity. And when we read this, my mind typically goes, okay, the seed is God's word. We're supposed to sow it. So what type of soil should I sow it on? And we start to think about sowing the seed. And in sowing the seed, I start to all of a sudden evaluate. If I talk to that guy, well, they were doing well for a while and enthusiastic, but they're not anymore. So they're probably that rocky soil. So I don't want to waste my seed there, right? And that person, they're totally like a path. They're totally hard. They don't want to hear anything about God. Definitely not going to waste my seed there. Don't want to throw the pearls to the swine sort of thing, right? God's word is precious. I'm not just going to go tell anybody if they're not going to listen. Now, this parable is not talking about how we go and share God's word with others. It's getting us to look into our own heart. But if we can glean a couple of snippets, one is so broadly. We don't judge the soil and say, I don't want to talk to them, them, and them because they're not really into it, but I will talk to them because they're doing, no, just so broadly. And also sow God's word. Now, we don't alter the seed, right? Sometimes we're tempted to dilute God's word, make it all seeker sensitive so people understand it. And we'd rather say, oh, the church is just a fun place and we've got a great atmosphere and there's a good vibe here, rather than actually talking about Jesus and life-changing stuff. Maybe we dilute God's word, or other times we condense it and we pack it right in so it's like this GMO seed. If I'm going to talk to that person, I want it to pack a punch, right? And I'm going to make this one count. And if we alter the seed, we take matters into our own hands and don't trust that God's seed will work. So we have to make it work. And so then we tell them angry kind of stuff and here's all the things about Christian. No, we don't want to alter the seed. We just want to sow God's word faithfully and fully. But of course, this parable is not talking about how we look at others and how we judge others. It's getting us to look at our own hearts so that we can cultivate the soil of our own heart. So that we can, first of all, take a soil sample. If you were to take a soil sample of your own heart, what would you find? Is it a path where you just don't even hear God's word and you're like, I'm not sure if God even speaks because I don't get it? Or the consumerism, the competition. Take a soil sample of your own heart. Find out where you're at. And then don't throw up your hands in despair and say, well, it's hopeless for me. I'm just that path. I'll never get it, right? Because the good news of Jesus all through the Bible, and especially as we'll see in the parables, is that Jesus comes to change you and to change your heart. That he will work and form in you, that he has already accomplished that work by paying for your sin on the cross, by loving you, by wanting to transform you through what he has done. Allow Jesus to change you. Start off by saying, God, give me eyes to see. If I don't have eyes to see, just God, give it to me. Help me understand. Jesus says, seek and you will find. And so start off. God, I don't hear your voice. I'm not impacted by your word. Will you speak to me? And put the challenge out to God. And then commit to listening to God's word. Because if God says, I'll speak to you, don't just sit back and not open his word, but start reading it. Start seeking. Start diligently seeking, listening to God's word. Maybe your heart's prone towards consumerism. And all of a sudden, something comes your way that you don't like so much, and you jump to the next thing. Persevere to allow the seed to take root. And keep going. Don't just say, God, speak to me, and you wait 5 minutes. Well, guess that didn't work, right? And persevere. Hang in there. Keep reading. Keep loving. And the best way to combat consumerism is to serve. It's to put others first. And so when you're done here, go downstairs, talk to the different ministries and say, how can I help out? When you come Sunday morning, can you help out in the nursery or maybe the Sunday school? Can you be an usher? Can you help? There's many different things throughout the week, many different ministries, other things in the community. We could put others first and serve. That's the best way to combat consumerism. Maybe there's a lot of competition in our life, and competition comes for God's word when we lack a trust that God's seed, that His will actually produce a harvest. So trust that the harvest will be worth it. Hang in there and know, yeah, I've put in all my stocks in God working and changing me. Trust that the harvest will be worth it, and do that. But the bad weather is bound to come. Don't worry about it when it comes, but allow God to grow. Quiet times in your life where you're like, I don't really hear from God and I'm frustrated, those will come. Keep persevering and trust that in the end, allowing that seed to take root in you will be worth it, even despite all the bad weather that comes our way. And don't run after other seeds. Sometimes it's like, well, I don't want to put all my eggs in one basket. So I got God's word, but man, I got my career and my family and all my other things that I'm going to put ahead of God to give me satisfaction, to bring me security. No, trust that God's word will bring about a harvest that's worth it, and don't run after other seeds. Truth hidden in plain sight. God's word is here. It's available. The question is it going to be revealed? Are you going to see it? Or is it going to be hidden away? That depends on the condition of your heart. And on the condition of your heart, allow God to change you so that you're receptive and you hear God's word. And then you'll be surprised and you'll see it pop up everywhere. My car's getting old now, but when I bought it brand new, I didn't know what a Toyota Echo was. I'd never really noticed one before. We went to the car lot, we bought our car, and then as I drove away from there, all of a sudden I saw one driving down the road, right? And you notice it. Oh, and there's another one. And when you get something of your own, you never really notice it before, and then all of a sudden they pop up everywhere and you see it everywhere. When we start listening to God's word, it's almost like that. We allow our heart to be that good soil, and all of a sudden, oh, God just spoke to me. Oh, God's directing me here. Oh, God's word is becoming alive. That's my desire for us, that we would have that fulfillment as God speaks and His word takes root in our lives and produces a harvest. Let's pray towards that end. Father, thank you for your word that changes us. Give us ears to hear. Give us eyes to see. And as a church, may you speak to us and direct us and lead us that we may walk in your ways. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.